Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigated Podcast today on this May the 26th, 2024. We are in the Memorial Day weekend for this year, and I thought it would be appropriate to recall the wars and the number of men that have given their life in the line of duty today. I'm going to be looking and I'm getting the numbers that I'm going to read to you, the title, Memorial Day by the Numbers, Casualties of Every American War. And this was an article from some years ago from military.com and one of their contributors. So we're going to look back at American history here, and it's amazing for a country that's only 248 years old, how many battles we've had and how many men and women we've lost on the battlefield, and how many wars we've actually had to fight to maintain a sovereign nation, and how many people were willingly just giving of themselves wholeheartedly to the cause of American freedom and to preserving what the founding fathers established or wanted to establish anyway in its fullness. When they started the Revolutionary War or resisted the enemy during the Revolutionary War, which became about and recognizing the official birth of the United States of America. So speaking of that, I'm going to start with the Revolutionary War deaths. According to the Battlefield Trust, around 230,000 proto-Americans fought in the Continental Army, though never more than 48,000 at a time. The colonial militias mustered up another 145,000 with a death toll of around 6,800. Then the chances of dying in combat in the Revolutionary War were roughly 1.8%. However, in wars of past, disease was prevalent, which disease has always been prevalent in war and still is today. But modern medicine and modern technology, we do have better ways to treat those and have better information about the diseases. But more so in the Revolutionary War, excuse me, I've got a mosquito flying around me here, more so than in a Revolutionary War from actual combat injuries, disease got 17,000 of the Americans. So if you survived battlefield operations, you still had a 4.5% chance of dying from a disease, malaria, smallpox, etc. Again, medicine's come a long way. So back in those days, you really didn't know anything about even sanitary conditions. The War of 1812. The army had 35,000 men at its peak, with another 458,000 militiamen throughout the United States, and not all of them were called to fight. 15,000 Americans died as a result of the War of 1812, but around 2,260 deaths were due to fighting. The rest were from disease. So your chances of dying were about 0.8% at that point in time from combat, but your dying chances increased to 0.34% of some type of disease during that war. The Mexican-American War, the 1846 war, which expanded the United States to include Texas, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and parts of Colorado, pitted just over 78,700 U.S. troops against 82,000 Mexicans. Historians and the VA agree that 1,733 U.S. troops were killed in the war, which was a huge percentage for death rate. That's 2.2%. And then, of course, non-combat issues and disease and et cetera took 11,550 more, which resulted in a 14.67%. The Civil War. The American Battlefield Trust puts the number of Americans killed in the Civil War at around 650,000. The VA estimates around 2.2 million Union combatants. When combined with the Confederate combatants, the number of Americans who fought the war reaches 3.26 million men. Think of that. With these numbers, the overall likelihood of fighting and dying in combat was 6.6%. The chances of dying in combat in the Confederate Army was around 7%. In all, including non-combat deaths like disease, the chances of dying as a soldier or sailor in the Civil War was 18.9%, still the largest death rate in U.S. military history. Then we come down to our point in history of the Indian War deaths. And, you know, there's nothing, in my opinion, okay, there's nothing glorious about war of any kind. But I am a realist, and I realize that war is going to always be a necessary function to maintaining a country's sovereignty, to maintaining a country's borders, and to maintain the country's way of life, especially being a republic, being a democratic republic as the United States of America is, a republic which is ruled by law, but governed by elected officials, supposedly fairly elected by the majority. War is always going to be a necessary function. And if we read history, and we read throughout history from the beginning of time, and certainly if we use the Bible as the historical part, the Bible as the history book for the historical part of our Christian faith, going back to Judaism, we see that war has been around since pretty much the creation of mankind. And with having said that, we're not finished yet. And as we are in a time of the Bible speaks of wars and rumors of wars, speaking to the funneling down of the time of the time of grace or dispensation of the church, as we see that dwindling down, our Lord told us, he said, look for these signs. And we can see throughout history, throughout our United States of America history, the short history that it is of 248 years, we see that we have almost constantly been at war. So the Indian War deaths, as the westward expansion was noted by many of the politicians and powers that be, we started looking at some numbers, or they started looking at some numbers there. The VA estimates some 106,000 American troops fought to tame the West, supposedly, and at least 1,000 died doing it, giving the combined wars with Native American tribes a death rate of 0.94%. So I'm not going to dispute the VA, but that seems like a very low number to me. Might need to do a little bit of research on that one and find out if that's actually a correct number. I wasn't around then, but even though some people think I'm that old. The Spanish-American War deaths, the total number of American service members who fought in the Spanish-American War, hovered around 306,700. Supposedly, according to these numbers, with only 385 dying in combat. So that would have been a 0.12% of those that fought in the war that were killed by the Spanish. Again, that number seems just a little low. I know that it was not a long-lived war, but those numbers still seem a little bit off to me. I believe there were potentially some statisticians got the numbers wrong there somewhere. Of course, during that war, the stats show that 2,000 or more fell to disease and other non-combat issues. World War I deaths. If the Spanish-American War showcased the U.S. military operating at high efficiency, then World War I was the beginning of the end of that. With 4.73 million men in uniform, World War I saw Americans mobilize like never before. Around 2.5% of those doughboys would not make it home, as 53,402 fell into the enemy and another 63,114 to other causes. So as America began to really, in my opinion, beyond the wars previous to it, Kevin English opinion is, this is where we started seeing the birthing of the true future of the United States of America. Yes, I'm not, by no means am I degrading the previous wars and the gallantry and the honoring those that served in those wars. But I think this is where America turned its real tide, especially after somewhat recovering from the Civil War, which by information I've read before, the last Civil War veteran died in 1968, which is in my lifetime. I did think about it when I was a kid growing up in Southern North Carolina. They started teaching us history about the Civil War early on. And I can still remember some of those history lessons setting in grade school. But it didn't occur to me as a, 1968, I would have been 9 years old. It didn't occur to me that I had actually Civil War veterans that I could have possibly come in contact with, because there were a lot of, in my family, there was a lot of elderly men still living. I never thought about at that age to, nor did I have the wherewithal to start asking questions about that. My questions in those days was, how much time do I get to spend outside on my motorcycle today or hunting or something like that. So, but that's pretty fascinating to me when I start thinking about that, that in my lifetime, I still had Civil War veterans living, and I wish I would have been a little older maybe, so I could have comprehended that better and maybe talked with a few of those gentlemen, irregardless of what side they were on. But I believe World War I was the turning point for us as far as the total establishment and the future that this country would take as a sovereign nation. World War II deaths. Now, my father served in the United States Navy during World War II in the South Pacific. For at least 2 years, he was in the South Pacific, maybe three. Of course, he told a story about his age so he could go in early at 16 years of age, which was not uncommon during this war. He didn't die in the war. He was privileged to live a long life, and for the most part, a good, decent life. So he was one of the privileged ones that got to come back out of that. World War II deaths saw more than 16 million Americans go in uniform, which completely reshaped the American society. 1.8% of the 16,112,556 Americans who served in the combat died at the hands of the enemy. So for every 1,000 Americans who served in the war, 8.6 were killed in action, 3 died from other causes, and 17.7% received non-fatal combat wounds. 16,112,556 troops served in World War II to defend our sovereignty in this nation. Let that sink in, folks. I hear them called the greatest generation. And you certainly wouldn't get any dispute from me about that. What prompted them, exactly to go? I think in those days, that many men, the ability to honor their country and their families, and certainly their fellow troops, and defend against tyranny. It's just amazing. It's just amazing to me the number of men that volunteered and were drafted, but nevertheless, the bigger portion of these men served honorably. This article says, and this article is about 5 or 6 years old now, that the VA estimates there are still 389,000 living World War II veterans. I suspect that number has greatly reduced in the last 5 or 6 years. No doubt about that. Korean War deaths. Around 2% of the 1.79 million who served in Korea would never come home. The Defense Department states that 36,574 Americans died fighting in the Korean War theater, and a total of 54,246 died as a result of the war. And there's been some changes, different stats have come out. Vietnam. The number of Americans fighting in Vietnam nearly doubled, up to 3.4 million from the number in Korea. The number of troops killed in the war grew by 62%. And that was over 14 years spanning officially, as far as stats go, from the war. And based primarily on the fact, those stats on considering 1961, when Kennedy ramped up the U.S. involvement in Vietnam. More than 58,220 American troops died during the course of the Vietnam War, which led to a death rate of 1.7%. Of course, by then, medicine had improved, transportation had improved, helicopters, things like that to evacuate the mobile hospitals on the battlefronts all contributed to helping save lives there. Gulf War deaths. Gulf War of 1990-91 saw a force of 694,550 American troops in service or deployed in support of the war. 383 were killed for a death rate of 0.1%. And this was a number the VA put out in 2019. Of course, it was a swift victory, if you will. I think even more swift than what the leadership at that time thought it would be. Iraq and Afghanistan. $2.5 million American troops deployed in support of operations Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, and New Dawn. Of those, 5,364 died in action, and another 1,476 died in non-hostile incidents. This would lead to a 0.27%, according to the VA numbers, of the death rate. Other reporting agencies says it's higher, to a 0.33%. of 8,498 combined deaths. So we know there will always be some differences in statistics. But here's the thing. Every one of these men and women who have died are important. They were important to their families. They were important to this nation. And they are important to God. So we don't want to discount by talking stats and giving estimates that we think any life that was lost defending the sovereign nation of the United States of America was not important, because every single life is important. As of 2017, an estimated 624,000 American veterans were dying every year, most from natural causes. A study from the National Institutes of Health estimates that half of the men who die every day are veterans. So our veterans are still dying in great number off of the battlefield. So today is Sunday. May 26, 2024. Tomorrow, Monday, the 27th of May, will actually be officially declared by the government as Memorial Day in the United States of America. And more so than that, 3 p.m. A national law stating that at 3 p.m. on this day, there will be a minute of silence remembering those who gave their life. And we are commanded to stop what we're doing. Even if you're eating a cheeseburger directly off the grill and it's fresh and hot, you can pause for 1 minute, 1 minute, and remember those who did everything they could do, and then beyond, to ensure this country stays a sovereign nation. That's worth a minute of your time tomorrow. So hopefully you will join with millions of Americans who will be doing just that. Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. Veterans Day will be in the fall, and we will honor those who are still living. But this is a solemn time. This is Although in America we have become somewhat spoiled because of all of the prosperity and the rights that we have. We take Memorial Day as a time of celebration, beer swilling and Jack Daniels drinking and steaks and hamburgers, or going to the beach or the lake or whatever your preference may be. And men bled and died for your right to do that. So, okay. But let's, as we have to continually nowadays exhort people to remember what Christmas celebrations are about. Remember what this time of memorializing is about. This is not a celebration. This is a time of solemn, as far as I'm concerned, it should be a solemn assembly. Pray for one another. Do the things that God wants you to do. This is the Patriot Trainer. I'll see you next time.